Pensacola's Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 to 9.
We tend to see things first reaction through the lens of whatever viewpoint we like to hold. And somebody puts up, oh, the New York Times didn't print the Declaration of Independence today. And they'd be like, oh, see, it's just... Not everything reinforces the biases or beliefs that you hold, even if they're fair. I mean, look, the New York Times certainly skews liberal, but that doesn't mean that everything they do, therefore, follows into that particular paradigm.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I get knocked down, but I just keep my head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Stuck on the ground, but I just keep my head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Keeping my head up, head up.
9:07. Good morning and happy Tuesday. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. It's Tuesday and the gang is back together.
Oh, the band is back together.
The Here Garden we are. Line gang.
Here we are.
Good
Here
morning, Mike.
Oh, well, good. I missed you last week, but it's great to be back.
It's great to be back, and what a beautiful morning to be back. A little bit of sunshine before the rain.
I was just going to say,
enjoy
the sunshine, because you're right, it's going to rain and then rain and then rain some more. And it's just, you know, we had all that heat and dryness, and now we've got every day with the rain. I think we do need to say that you do need to keep your eye on the weather, because this little system, whatever it may end up being, moving across the northern Gulf, is, if for nothing else, is going to give us just an amazing amount of rain. I'm looking at the percentages over there. You're talking 70%, 80, 80, 80.
80, 80, 80.
It just goes on and on.
We need to send some of this rain out west. Right. They would like some.
And when I looked at one of the models, the European model, that said that our area could, now I'm not saying it's going to, but it could get up to, you know, 8 to 10 inches of rain.
Ooh, look at close to the Big Bend right there. If you're looking at the radar, oh my goodness, they're getting dumped on
they're
right now.
They're getting blasted. There's no doubt about that. And I think we are going to also, but just need to do everything you need to do, especially if you live in an area that's prone to flooding. You know what to do. We in Pensacola have gone through this many times. So just be careful, take care of yourself, and do whatever it takes to keep yourself and your family safe.
Yeah, we were just talking before I came in the studio about plans because of possible flooding.
Right.
What to do, make sure you turn around. Don't think that you can make it through. We've seen too many, especially 17th Avenue, 9th Avenue, parts off of 9 Mile. Just, you know, use a little bit of, not fear, but discrepancy with flooding.
Be careful. You know, and one other thing, I know people know this, but if you're going from Pensacola to Gulf Breeze or Gulf Breeze to Pensacola, be so careful on that bridge. It's kind of narrow, and if we have pouring rain trying to cross that bridge, just watch your speed. Be so careful on that bridge, because it's... You know, I look forward to the day when that one lane going both ways is going to be 3 lanes.
Yeah.
But now it's really kind of tight. So just be careful.
And speaking of Gulf Breeze, one last thing, talking about rain, and then we'll get to irrigation in a second on the Garden Line. And if you have a question, 850-437-1620, you can text it in to Mike. Also in the area of the Naval Oaks, that area.
Yeah, 98.
Ooh, right. It gets floody too. So
it
need to just be super careful
so
over
careful.
The next few days. But Mike, what should we do with our irrigation systems?
Turn them off.
We're okay,
literally,
right?
Literally just turning them off.
Save some water. Let Mother Nature water you.
Exactly, because I think we're going to get plenty of rain. Of course, as we always say on the Garden Line, we know this, you could get 5-6 inches of rain 2 or 3 days in a row, but then 3 or 4 days later, it's time to water the grass again because of our sandy soil. It just drains. Thank goodness it does. It just drains so quickly. And so if we get all of this rain, say even into the weekend, next week, just, you know, take a look at your plants and your lawn, because it may be time to water again, depending on what the weather does as we go into the next week or so. But for now, you know, that's... I have a note here that I used a couple of weeks ago. It's a little funny. It's hot and it's dry, and water your lawn. So I scratched that off my list of things to do.
Got it.
We don't need to do that. But let me say one thing, General. This is interesting. I found this little article here from the Florida Times Union over in Jacksonville that so many of our plants are really stressed because of the drought that we had and the heat. And I call it a drought. We went a long time without rain, but it was so the intense heat we had. And these plants are stressed. But now, if you get these plants turn out to be waterlogged, you can also have some problems, especially if you have the waterlogged situation following on your plants that are already stressed. And you can get these root diseases in your plants and in your lawn. And so what you have to do is just be aware of that. One of the problems is in our area, sometimes it's hard to identify what you've got. You know, did you get, you know, is it because of all the rain that we're going to have? Is that why you're having a lawn problem?
Right.
Is it some fungus you had before that? Is it some of the varmints that we deal with? You have to be careful. And sometimes it's not much one can do. After all the rain is over, if it looks like you've got one of these fungus problems, you can spray with a good fungicide. But otherwise, you've just got to go back to your normal good practices. This article states, and I tend to agree, you don't need to blast the lawn with nitrogen. Even though St. Augustine likes that little summer kicker, blast your centipede and zoysia and all that with nitrogen because you've got some problems in the lawn caused by this water. But just, you know, mowing it high, going back to a normal irrigation program once we're past all of these storms is about the best thing you can do. And one thing that I really liked in this article, it says if you've got container plants, you know, and of course they have a hole in the bottom of it for drainage, but they're just sitting, say, on your driveway or whatever,
right?
Get a screwdriver and poke it up into that hole in the bottom of that pot plant to be sure that you're going to get good drainage. And then set it on some bricks so that the water drains through.
Oh, good
so
idea.
It doesn't sit there in the bottom of that pot and rot, and those roots get rotten.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen. So
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, there's some things that you just have to be very careful with.
Things you don't think of.
Same you don't think of.
You don't want mosquitoes and all that.
But you know, Angela, that is a great, great thing you brought up. With all this rain that we're going to have, you're going to have, I can almost guarantee you, we all are, unless we've all been, unless y'all are much more careful than I've been, you're going to have some standing water. Go from top to bottom, north to south, east to west in your property, and be sure that there's no more standing water. Clean your roof gutters, and just do all the things that you do to keep the standing water away, because with all this water around, the mosquito problem is just going to be larger and larger. So I think that's one thing we can do to recover from all of this rain. But bottom line, be careful. If you have come out of this and the lawn does have some problems, some browning, you may want to take a sample out of your yard right on the edge of the problem and even take it to the County Extension Service and let them look at it so they can say, it's because of all the water, it's a byproduct of all the dry weather and heat we had, or it's active fungus. Kind of clear up what you've got, so that'll kind of send you in the right direction as to what to do.
Excellent. All right. We are going to move things along right here on the Garden Line. Let's take a break. Is that okay, Mike?
And
when we come back, I want to hit this question about natural fertilizer for your garden and maybe some recommendations for a more natural fertilizer. Not sure if that has to do with edible plants or with your yard or just flowers. So if you want to verify that, during the commercial break, you can text in 850-437-1620. Any other questions, make sure you get those over to Mike here on the Garden Line.
Summer is here, and it's time for your favorite weekend activities. It all starts with a stop at Barnes Feed Store. Now it's the time to get your hands dirty planting your favorite flower.
Listening to the Garden Line and Aretha Line.
Oh, Aretha. She's so good. So good. Okay, before we get into some more Garden Line stuff. Well, this is Garden Line stuff. What am I saying? Great picture you showed me this morning, Jenna, of the herb garden put out by your child.
Yeah, my oldest.
House,
yeah.
Your oldest son saying that's his, what do you call it?
Yummy garden.
His yummy garden. Yeah. And he had oregano and basil and one other one.
Tomatoes. And I believe it was cilantro or parsley. I'm not sure. But it's doing really well.
It looked perfect.
It's been out there for a little over a month. Yeah. And he's watering it. It's getting enough sun. We haven't had any, little thieves / squirrels. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I just learned to live with them.
And the kids, they just like to go out there and pluck some things off and bring it in.
Right.
It feels very Southern. I'm not going to lie. I feel very Southern when I'm like,
not a bad feeling to have.
Go pull off a couple of basil leaves for me. I'm going to make some caprese. And you just go out there. I'm like, this is as Southern as Jenna gets.
Exactly. Well, I've got to. I wish our audience could see the picture, but I'm going to make two other comments about the picture you showed me. The herb garden, the yummy garden, is just a cool picture. But also in the picture was the elephant ear and the cladium balls, which I had used in my yard. Well, I gave those to you, just one elephant ear bulb and some caladium bulbs, and man, did they look great.
Yeah, three caladium bulbs, one elephant, and they're popping.
And you put them in a pot. You put them in pots.
I was like, let me just get them. I want them in pots as soon as possible. I mean, within a week, I'm like, oh, I see green. Okay, all right. I put them in the sun. They're getting enough sun, and they're getting water, and the next thing I know, where the caladiums are blooming, and the elephant ear is climbing up my house. I'm like, okay, we're in business now.
Makes you feel really Southern, like South Florida.
Yeah,
a little
exactly.
Tropical, no question about it.
Yeah, we got the yummy garden and then the elephant ear. So
the caladiums right now, all over town. Those that planted them look gorgeous. Mine have been better, and I attribute it to the weather. I mean, it's been hot, and they are, of course, put up with that. They want some shade, but my goodness, they have been so pretty. But one last thing about your picture, about lawns. Your lawn, you had a little piece of the picture showed your lawn, which was just as green and gorgeous as it could be, and you told me it was Argentine bahia.
Bahia, and my husband can probably correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that's the one he chose, but I have to give him all the credit. I'm not taking any credit for how good the lawn looks. He's got this whole irrigation system set up. And
did he seed it or did he sod it?
He sodded it.
Good. That new word. Jot that down.
I don't know how many D's were supposed to be in there.
But anyway, no, the Argentine bahia is an interesting grass. Used a lot more in South Florida than it is here. It's so hardy and so very, very,
very lush.
Yeah, it's lush. But the only disadvantage is it'll send up seed heads, and you have to mow it at least once a week. But if anybody's listening saying, I'm going to go plant some bahia, be sure to differentiate between the Argentine bahia and the Pensacola bahia. The Pensacola bahia is a grass used on interstate right-of-ways, but it'll send up a seed head in about an hour. it really will. And it's not quite as thick as the Argentine. But the Argentine bahia, we talk about fungus and insects and such as that. You're not going to have that problem with Argentine bahia.
No.
It just doesn't get a lot of problems. So that is an option. That is an option. I think it was Washington High School has when they built Washington High School, they put in Argentine bahia, and I think it's looked good over all these years.
They have a nice campus over there. Oh, I wanted to get to this fertilizing question. If you want to get your questions in, 850-437-1620. Can Mike recommend any natural fertilizers for all of my plants? Because I asked for specifications, flowers, as well as a small vegetable garden.
Well, I think one of the old ones that people use, a lot of farmers use it, was cottonseed meal. Very, very, it's very slow. Very organic, and no nitrogen, phosphate, or potash in it, from a traditional fertilizer. It just was a very slow-acting fertilizer. So I think that's an option. I still like some of the mill organite. I don't think I'd use that on my vegetable garden.
Okay.
But if you're going to use it like on a turf, it's great. It really is. This is a byproduct of the City of Milwaukee wastewater system. And so it's been around for years and years and years. It's called mill organite. It's very organic. So that's an option. Now, we have got a lot of listeners that do organic gardening. I'd love to hear their recommendation for what they think. So give us a text and let us know what you're using insofar as an organic fertilizer. There really is, you know, and that's great to use that. My, of course, opinion is some of the traditional fertilizers, as long as the fertilizer is slow release, as long as it has the right minor elements in it, and it's granular, it's very safe to use. Very safe to use. You know, people have used it for decades and decades. But if you want to go totally organic, there are choices out there. Yes.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, mill organite is, somebody texted in, excellent for lawns without adding extra chemicals to your yard. Thank you for that. If you want to text in more suggestions, 850-437-1620. When we come back from our next break, let's talk a little hummingbird talk. We've got a question about hummingbirds. I haven't seen many this year or any at all, actually.
Well, I will tell you right now, I have three hummingbird feeders up, and I have just begun to see them. Oh, and just yesterday, I've been seeing one at a time come. But yesterday, I just saw two of them fighting in my backyard.
Oh.
I said, all right, they're back.
The WWH.
Exactly. But no, we can talk hummingbirds because I was concerned, especially with all the heat, that maybe they weren't.
Yeah, where are they hiding?
They weren't going to have them much this year.
They're hiding.
But they are. In my yard, they are back.
Okay, I was going to make a joke about armadillos, but I won't.
Don't
I
do
won't.
It.
I won't. I won't do it. I won't bring it up. We're going to leave the armadillo talk for later. 850-437-1620. Text in your questions to the Garden Line. Calls you darling too. 9:28. We've got more texts coming in on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr, hanging out with Mike Wiggins this morning. Let's talk some hummingbird plants real quick before we take our news break.
Hummingbirds are back. I was very concerned that the hummingbirds were not coming back because I have these three feeders out, and but sure enough, here they are. They're back. I see them every day now. And I'm glad to see them because they're fun to watch. They really are. I think if you put some red plants out there, I think that's good. I think some of your hibiscus. I like alamander. Alamander is a great plant. Get a red one. I saw one the other day. I was in line at one of the big box stores buying something else. And the guy behind me was buying some alamander. Alamander is a tropical plant. It's going to be just kind of like hibiscus. You know, you can try to keep them alive, but it's hard to do in the winter. I like Ixora, Ixora. That's a great plant. I think those plants work. However, I really like putting out hummingbird feeders because you can really watch them because they're so interesting, especially when you get a bunch of them because they fight like cats and dogs, and it's just fun to watch them bump each other off the feeder. And, of course, there are many recipes for what to use. And I think contrary to a lot of thought, if you have a hummingbird feeder, you don't necessarily need a red liquid in them to draw the hummingbirds. We never do. We just have a little sugar water and put it out there, and it's clear, and the hummingbirds seem to love it. It's hard to keep the house finches off the hummingbird feeder right now. Never had that problem before, but just kind of clap your hands and they go running. So anyway,
that'll send them away.
Exactly. I think, you know, some of your red plants will be a good choice to to plant for them to draw hummingbirds.
Excellent. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom. We were talking about the Ixora last week, remember?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite plants.
Yes, it's one of his favorites.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding. It's mine, too.
Try and keep them alive through the winter.
Impossible. Don't even try.
Well, I do. I do. I manage.
Like an angle. Okay, well, I want to hear your secrets.
Is the strip polka.
I adore this number.
Nine 38. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Text in your questions, your pictures, your comments, your favorite armadillo pictures. 850-437-1620.
Jenna, where are you going with the armadillo again?
Actually, I saw one for the first time in months. It was past tense. His life had lived it out. And then I think a Toyota probably. Well, he met his match with a Toyota. But I thought of you. Oh. Isn't that a great thing?
That makes me feel really good.
Oh, boy. So I have a couple questions here. Let's see. Let's get into fungus talk. All right, Mike?
Yes.
I'm all about it. As long as it's not on your toes, let's talk about it. So what's the best remedy for fungus spots in centipede lawns? Do you recommend copper sulfate?
I don't think I would use copper sulfate on centipede yards. I just wouldn't do that. And I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I've never done it. Copper sulfate is used for other things. I would get a good fungicide. You can buy them from your local garden center and see what they're recommending nowadays. They change all the time. But get a good either liquid fertilizer or a water-soluble fertilizer. That's my favorite way to do it. Now, we've said this on the Garden Line before. If you spray that area, number one, you don't have to spray the whole yard. Just spray the discolored area, and say off about 10 to 12 feet. That's all you've got to do. But you've got to do it, and this isn't going to sound right today, when you're going to have 48 hours of dry weather. When is that going to happen? I have no idea. But another way you can do it to get out of that having to wait 48 hours after you spray the liquid is to use a product called F-Stop. F-Stop is a granular fungicide that's great for turf, centipede, St. Augustine, zoysia, what have you. I have found over the years that the fungus is not nearly as bad in centipede as it is in St. Augustine. That's one of the reasons we have so many people with zoysia grass, is the fungus in St. Augustine. But you use the same products.
Okay.
And so that's what I would do. But I like the liquid better. I like to spray it and let it sit on there for 48 hours. And then almost every time, you might as well count on doing it again in 10 days. No question about it. But I think we talked about this maybe a couple of shows ago. If you've got a spot of fungus, it's going to grow and grow and grow. So what you need to do is right before you spray, or right after you spray, whenever, is get a marker, get a golf tee out of your golf bag and put it right on the edge of that discoloration, between the discoloration and your good grass, and spray it. If the spot doesn't grow any bigger than where you put your marker, you pretty well have done it. You're okay. But if that spot goes past your marker, you might as well spray again. Put your marker out again, and you may have to even spray it a third time. But fungus is tough. It's very, very difficult to control. And as opposed to like sod webworm damage, where the grass will generally come back, sometimes it may take next season for that grass to come back. And I hate to be negative, but sometimes it may not come back at all. So you've got to be careful.
Okay.
I was reading the other day, and I haven't read about this in a while, but there's a fungus that gets on St. Augustine grass called take-all fungus. And the name says it all. It takes the grass.
Oh, really?
Called take-all disease. And there's not much one can do about that at all. You've got to go back and do everything right. Well, remember now, mowing it high, watering in the morning, never cutting off more than a third of a blade of grass, fertilizing correctly, all of those things, and you'll be in pretty good shape. Did I tell you the story, Jenna, about my friend that gave me a picture of his St. Augustine lawn? And it looked, hard to determine what the problem was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he said, I've got two problems. One, I think it's fungus. But two, I used some weed killers.
Oh, that's
right.
You know,
3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. I said, stop the music right there. Because it's 98 degrees, okay? And you went out and used some, a 2,4-D mixture. No, that's like putting a blowtorch on your yard.
Yep.
So when this rain passes, and if it's because of all the rain, you got some weeds sprouting up in the lawn, still don't do it because the temperatures are going to be too high. Hold off till we get into, maybe latter part of September, even October. I am so scared of using those weed killers on those broadleaf grasses like centipede and St. Augustine when temperatures are in the 90s. Quite frankly, in my opinion, even in the high 80s, but in the 90s, just don't do it.
Okay, excellent. Hey, if you have another question, 850-437-1620. Our friend Catherine texted in that there is an article in the PNJ today on page 4C on deadheading your flower garden.
I read that. I read that article. I did read that article.
Tell me a little bit what's in it.
Well, deadheading, of course, is when you have a plant and the bloom is spent, it's turning brown, it's just not pretty anymore. You go and you kind of pinch right behind that bloom and take that away. It's real interesting on that article. It was written by somebody not from our area, I don't believe, talking about some plants that we don't even grow here. Some plants you need to deadhead, some you don't. A good example is, I guess, knockout roses are what they label self-cleaning. In other words, you don't have to deadhead them. The dead blossoms are going to fall off.
They just fall, yeah.
And the new ones are going to come on. So you need to check which plants you're going to do. Now, on the hydrangeas, I have a hydrangea in a container that just was gorgeous this year. But all the blossoms are dead.
Right.
So I have deadheaded that and just went right behind the blossom. You don't want to cut way back into the plant, right behind the blossom. But it's an interesting article, and if you are online or if you get the newspaper delivered, read that article. It's very interesting about deadheading plants. Catherine, I appreciate that. By the way, Catherine, I've got to tell you, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when I was here, you left me some great magazines. Thank you so much. I appreciate that because you've just got some great stuff, and I enjoy them, and we enjoy them in our house. And just want to thank you so much for that. You're very special, and we appreciate it.
Whenever I get some from Catherine, my neighbor, she's so sweet. Her name is Dawn. She always is like, can I take a look at them too? So there, we are living proof of reduce, reuse, recycle.
Exactly. They're making the circuit. I promise you. Everybody's
exactly.
Reading them. No question.
But we even cut out the little, address area just in case, and we use the free little libraries too. So then whatever we've cut out, other people can enjoy the leftovers.
Yeah, the free little library is a neat deal.
Oh, I love them so much. I think it's one of the best things that has come in the 21st century. 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Mike Wigginson's here to answer your questions. Let's take another quick break. Starting to see some clouds come in, but still nothing on the radar. Keeping an eye on the radar here at News Radio 92.3. Going to get another news update coming in about 15 minutes to you from Steve Taylor in the newsroom. Mike Wiggins is here from the Garden Line. It's Tuesday and he's back. So if you'd like to text in before we run out of time, 850-437-1620.
I want to go back to the deadheading subject for just a minute that Catherine brought up.
Yes.
Exactly. Folks, you couldn't see that. So just.
It's probably better.
We'll move on. Where was I? Oh.
We're deadheading plants, not people.
Deadheading plants. Okay. Crepe myrtles. Keep in mind that if you've got crepe myrtles, and golly, they're just gorgeous right now. They're blooming up a storm. But when those blooms are spent, when they're fatted, if you cut right behind that bloom, which basically is deadheading, if you will, you can get some new blooms, and it'll bloom into the fall. So Crape myrtles are a great plant, a great example of being able to cut those dead blooms off and have the plant send out some more.
Crape myrtles are looking beautiful right
now. Aren't they pretty? They really are.
Wow.
They really are.
I mean, in the winter, I really don't think so much. They're kind of like, all right, we'll let you be. But now this time of year with the blooms, everything is looking very lively. It's the payoff is great.
Exactly. One other thing, a couple things I want to mention since we have a minute here. especially with all this rain coming, I doubt if you're going to be able to get out and do much pruning and cleaning up in the yard, but be careful not to put bags of trash or whatever it is you have that you want picked up by the city or the county, wherever you live, not to put it in the street with all this rain coming, because that simply washes a lot of it into the stormwater system, which goes into the stormwater system, which goes eventually into our bodies of water. So be real careful with your lawn debris, especially in this rain. Just kind of set it up in the yard for now. Nowadays, like the city has got great equipment. Years ago, when they got the trash out of your yard, if you just kept it in the yard, it put a moon crater in your yard. But now it doesn't do that. They've got that solved. So in any event, be real careful with that. One other thing, a couple other things. Don't forget we want to fertilize our roses once a month.
What about azaleas?
Okay, here's the azaleas. I'm glad you mentioned that. Insofar as the azaleas are concerned, I wouldn't fertilize them right now. I really wouldn't. But what I would do, or what I would not do, is do a heavy pruning on your azaleas. Because keep in mind, midsummer, they will set their buds for next year, for next spring. So we're right at the edge of when you could do that. I just wouldn't do it. Now, on azaleas, especially dwarf azaleas, if you've got them in a hedge or in a planting bed in your yard, you can give them a haircut. That's not going to, if you lose a few blooms, kind of so what. But any heavy, heavy duty pruning on your azaleas, July, August, and on to next spring, you could lose a lot of color. It won't damage the plant, don't get me wrong, but you may lose a lot of color, no doubt about it.
Okay, that was a question while you were talking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and you were talking roses too.
Oh yeah, roses, going back to roses. Need to fertilize them once a month. Obviously, if we're gonna have 5-6+ inches of rain, don't do it today because it's just gonna wash that fertilizer out. But you need to do it once a month if you can. But I brought that up because we talked about that, I think, the last show. But when I was in a little garden center the other day, it just reminded me when I saw the rose dust. The rose dust is a combination of products that, one, it takes care of any insects that are on your roses, but it also takes care of fungus on roses, which are two of them. Black spot, which is just like it sounds, it's a black spot that gets on a leaf of a rose, and powdery mildew, which looks like baby powder put on a rose. That particular product will, I say, take care of. None of these products are perfect, but it's the right product to use to take care of those two problems, in addition to using your fertilizer about every 30 days. With all this rain, you just can't do it. You're going to have to wait till all this system passes. But if you haven't done it in 4 or 5 weeks, I would certainly get a good rose fertilizer and do that.
Okay, excellent. If you want to squeeze in one more question, we have a couple of minutes. It's about 9:54. We've got a minute before we have to take another break before we come back and wrap things up on the Garden Line. I imagine right now everybody is running around outside making sure all their plants are stable. They're running out there using your draining idea with the screwdriver and the bricks, and everybody's just getting prepared because I'm watching that radar and it's slowly creeping in. So.
Right. And what I have not seen, Jenna, and I know you're going to have a weather report here shortly, is what the wind situation might
That's
be.
That's the problem.
In this
mm-hmm.
storm.
Yeah.
I mean, do we all get out and take our patio furniture and put it next to the house, doing that type of thing? Do we take down our hummingbird feeders? And, is the wind going to be so high?
We're going to see a squirrel hanging on for dear life swinging from it.
Flying through the backyard.
Oh my gosh, I saw a YouTube video of that. It's one of the best things I've ever seen on the internet. It's a storm, but that squirrel was like, no, this is mine. I'm not leaving my food behind. Oh, my the birds goodness. Are all watching from the trees. Like, just what
laughing.
An idiot.
Just laughing. It's a squirrel. Exactly.
Oh, the squirrel. We love them, and we also can't stand them.
Exactly.
Leave some food for the rest of us. Anything else before we want to take
a
break?
I do want to mention, this is really kind of off topic here. We haven't talked about this. But one plant that I planted in a low bowl, I planted it, when was it? Last fall. Because it's kind of labeled as a fall perennial, and that's dianthus. Another word for dianthus is pinks. Not because they're pink, but I guess the old timers used pinking shears to cut them and prune them. That's what I read, hard to believe, but that's one reason they call them pinks. But the point is, those dianthus, which I have got in that bowl, went all the way through the winter, all the way through the spring, all the way through the intense heat we had, and still look pretty good. So if you're looking for, and it's a low plant. Ooh. It only grows, oh my goodness, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 inches high.
They're pretty.
But they're pretty, and you talk about hardy. I have been so pleased with them. I had all these plans just to dig them out of that bowl and put something else in for the summer. But I'm just going to let them ride. I'm going to see what happens. Let them take them through the fall and next winter and see what happens. But I just wanted to mention that. It's called dianthus. You may see the plant tag at your garden center that says dianthus, but another word for it is pinks, P-I-N-K-S. So you may want to take a look at that.
Excellent. It's very pretty.
Oh, it is very pretty. We also need to be sure that for our agapanthus, we talked about that last time, Lily of the Nile, that has such beautiful blue blooms, which really is, they've all, I think, all over town, they've had their better day. You can prune back that big stalk. And this foliage itself, the plant itself, is very attractive. Nice, low, green, glossy, strap-like wheat leaves. Agapanthus, you may want to think about go ahead and pruning that back while you're at it. We talked about weed killer. Let me say once again, leave it on the shelf. Don't do it. It's just too hot. Anyway, that's what we have to say.
All right.
On the mosquito situation, please be sure after all this rain to check your standing water.
Please
check
do.
Check that real close.
Okay. All right. Let's take one more quick break here on the Garden Line before we wrap things up here with Mike Wiggins. Well, that was a fun morning. We got a lot of talk in.
We did get a lot of talk in. As we go, tell Makai congratulations on his herb garden. It's first class. And everybody be so careful in all of this rain. We're going to have a bunch of it. We need you bad. Be careful.
Amen to that. Thank you, Mike. Yes, please be careful out there today. Stay tuned to News Radio 92.3 for all your weather updates. And stay tuned for Bob Burgie up next.